say that'd be mobile.
To Master Dave in 0TR.
Just headed out to get some lunch. What you up to, Tom?
Not a whole lot today. That dadburn wind is 16-mile-an-hour gust from the southwest. And I want to go out so, outside so bad I can taste it, but it just doesn't agree with me if it's cold. I mean, really cold.
I had plans to go down to WCRC today, but not going to happen. Too cold, too windy.
Okay, 4VWA.
Afternoon, Steve, again? Well, I'll tell you, it's difficult to fly small planes in that. I know that for sure, although I'm not a pilot of said items, but I do occasionally fly this drone, and it's just too damn burn windy. Go ahead, Steve.
Heat wave, a tropical heat wave. you gotta love it, Tom. We're scrubbing the atmosphere and the air is getting cleaner. How you doing, Dave? Hey, did you ever get a chance to ride up there and look at Campobello?
Yes, I did. I did that yesterday. I gave you a shout out when I was on my way up there, too. But I couldn't hook up with you yesterday. But I went up there, and it appears as though they have built a lot more than is there on their website. Their website picture must be pretty old. But I couldn't get in. I did see a couple of trailers backed up to in the parking lot to where you go unload your stuff in front of the flight line. But nobody was there, so I couldn't get in. And I was going to take some pictures, but not really enough area out there on the road before you get into where Campobello Flyers Field is. Not really enough in front of the gate, room in front of the gate to do that. So I went over to Foothills Flyers and took four 360-degree pictures over at Foothills Flyers. And then I was going to take Maggie, that's my Yorkie, and go down to WCRC today. But it's just too cold and windy. W4DJW.
Well, had Foothills dried out any?
Yeah, they put straw down where the mud was. So you're driving over straw, which was, you know, no pebbles to get caught up on propeller blades for full-scale airplanes. So that's safe for them. And no sliding around in the mud on your car. My car didn't get any mud on it at all.
They need to do something out there, I tell you. All right, well, what did you think of Campobello?
Looks really good. I'd like to go sign up. I went and looked on their website for, like, somebody you can do a Zelle transfer to sign up and get your car so you can go inside. But I can't find anything other than, like, primitive. Go to the barbershop and pay them money.
I mean, they hold the line as far as, you know, wanting you to fly safe and fly by the rules, but, you know, beyond that, it's during the wintertime, it's a pretty loose, because they really don't have any club meetings, and, you know, as long as you fly by AMA standards and, you know, cooperate with everybody, all the other flyers out there, it's very casual.
Sign up, but I just couldn't find anywhere to sign up. Have you signed up yet?
No, I was going to get a little closer. Oh, see, I've still got to get my AMA renewed. I've got to do my AMA, and then I'm going to get my plane. I figure I'll be about a week before I get that plane finished and ready to get in the air. So I'll probably wait about a week and then ride over by the barbershop and then head on up there.
Ask the barbershop, ask that guy if he has a Zelle account, an email address tied to a Zelle account. You can pay for it through that email address if he does.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll just ask him about all payment options.
Okay, because I don't know where the barbershop is that you were talking about. But it does look nice. It looks pretty good. It looks like a decent place to fly. So, and it's 2 miles closer to me than WCRC. Which is a good thing, and I didn't have too much trouble finding it, although I couldn't find it again without the GPS. a lot of back roads from my house to it.
Well, if you remember, if you're coming up New Cut Road, you pass my house, make two rights, and you're there.
W4DJW, I have to recall where I was when I went to your house. I don't have any clue. I couldn't find my way there again either. Go ahead, Tom.
Sounds interesting to me, guys. And I got to go over here and sterilize my pocket knife here. So you guys go ahead and have a good Q show, and I'll talk to you down the line. This is Gerald T. Art.
Tom, you fixing to do some surgery?
I cut an apple up last night with my pocket knife, and it's kind of sticky. You can't keep house without a Swiss Army knife. You just got to have one, Steve.
What I carry is about a 4-inch blade, and it has the little opening assist on it, and I keep it right there in my front pocket on its little clip, so it kind of hangs on the top of my pocket. It's always there.
Well, I've carried one for 30 or 40 years, and the biggest thing that when you buy one, I don't want a great big one, but you want the Phillips head and the straight slot screwdriver to go parallel with the knife itself. Most of them, they come out the side, and if you're trying to open a junction box or do something where you got to stick your hand in with, as an electrician particularly, if the straight slot or the four-way, as a friend of mine's wife used to call them, Phillips head, is sticking out the side, you can't turn that screw. So you want, that's the biggest point I have about that. It's got to be the model that it comes out the ends on, Steve. Well, you guys carry on. This is NGRO TR.
Have a good one, Tom. 73s. Well, Dave, so in about a week or two, maybe we can get together and maybe I can try to get back in the air again without splattering one.
He's food at the window, Steve.
Probably. Either that or he got back home, and he's hungrier than wants to talk. Don't blame him there either.
I had turned the volume down while I ordered. Tom, rule number 7 of any naval person is never go anywhere without a knife.
Fight. There is one exception, Dave.
Okay, I stand corrected.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys later. That's a fact, though. Well, Cinder will tell you.
We come to the fast, can't we, Dave?
Absolutely. With one exception.
Who that was, he would say, the facts, just the facts. But, oh, it was Dragnet. Do you remember Jack Webb and Dragnet when you were a kid? The facts.
Those rules on NCSI, Naval Crime Scene Investigator, something like that.
Naval Criminal Investigation Service. And did you know there is actually such a thing?
There is.
Knowledge brought to you by... can you tell I'm in kind of one of my moods today? I'm headed back to the house, and I'm going to head into my man cave, turn the heat on, and work on my airplane a little bit.
Yeah, too. I was going to take Maggie and go out to WCRC because I haven't been out to the new field. But with it below 50 and the wind above 15, Maggie and I decided to scratch those plans.
I blame you a bit. So what are you doing taking a... Oh, well, no, I guess this is a national holiday. MLK Day. You're not working today.
That is correct. I can't wait till the day that I don't work every day or that I do what I want to do every day.
NGOTR.
Jump in there, Tom.
Well, you brought back an old memory. I'll have to tell you a tale. I was in VP-31 going to school for flight crews, and we had cubicles if you was, I think, E5 and above or E4 and above. You know, it was need five at the time, and no, I think it was need four. But we had cubicles, four to a cube, and anyways, it was called the CID, Criminal Investigation Division, then, if I remember rightly. And it was up at Moffett Field by San Francisco, and anyways, this guy stuck his head into our cubicle, and he says, "You guys smell that?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, what do you think it is?" And I said, and he asked our names and all that, and wanted to see our IDs. And I said, well, I worked in Mom and Dad's grocery store, and it smells like cherry blend tobacco that they put in a pipe to smoke it. I didn't think anything about it. He says, "Where are you from, son?" And I said, "Kansas." And he just shook his head and smiled, and he says, "That explains it."
In every crowd, you know, some smart aleck can come up with a generic comment and make a smart aleck wisecrack out of it.
Dave, I was being very honest with the man, and then I seen these four guys in handcuffs, and they were taking them out the door, and I never seen them again. So I believe from listening to my other roommates that it was marijuana.
Well, Tom, I had to turn the volume down when she came out there and brought my food to me right before you gave the last punchline. So I missed the end of it.
Well, this guy from the CID, he looked at our IDs and all that and asked what that was, and I told him it was cherry blend tobacco that they smoked in their pipe. And I'd sold tons of it, and it smelled good. And he said, "Where are you from, son?" And I said, "Kansas." And he shook his head and smiled, and he said, "That explains it." And he just walked off, and I seen him taking four guys out of there in handcuffs.
Marijuana?
Wasn't no thinking about it. It was. And I never smelled it, Dave, so I had no idea. I saw it one time. We seen this guy. We went down to 3rd Street to our other structural plant, and we went in to see the nurse for something, pick up something, and working maintenance, she did a little everything. And I seen this guy running across the street with a bush in his hand, what I considered a bush, and he went, it was noon hour, so the bosses weren't around, and he went to this psychedelic van, you know, that was all painted up like a hippie van. And he definitely looked like a hippie. And so I looked over at my buddy John, and he said, "Tom," he said, "I think that was marijuana." Well, come to find out, it was growing along the railroad tracks down there by our 3rd Street plant. And anyways, I went into the nurse station back at the machine shop, and she had one of those plants in a Folgers coffee can. And it had 7 leaves on it. I'll never forget that. And that's the first time in my life I'd ever seen that, Dave.
I haven't seen a lot of it either myself. I remember walking through the neighborhood, and you could smell it. And I asked people what it was. It smelled like burning leaves to me. And some of the people in the neighborhood say, "No, that's marijuana. That's not burning leaves." And there's some kind of a difference between it, but I can't tell the difference.
That's what I thought it smelled like, too, burning leaves. But you know what? I smoked it one time, but I didn't inhale.
Hell. shoot. Well, the biggest thing that we ever had in our lives was a 3.2% beer before we turned 18. And you could drink it legally at 18. And I did taste a beer before I was 18, but I didn't like it, and I really never have.
Well, I was somewhere in my 20s before I ever had any alcohol at all, and didn't know anything about it when I tried it, and regretted it when I tried it.
KB2H Access Mobile.
Oh, no, there went the neighborhood. Go ahead, Dave.
Let's see. Good afternoon, everybody.
Yeah, we just never had that. at least not the folks I hung around with back there. And the guys in the Navy, they always, I was going to school in Jacksonville, and they always tried to get me to drink because I had a restricted license, and it had all of these restrictions written on it, and I could go into the Roosevelt Hotel package store, they called it, and I could buy a bottle of booze for them, and the little old lady in there couldn't figure out my driver's license. And I'm a cheap drunk. I tried a couple of swigs of several different kinds. All it did was make me sick. So I just never did like it. And the most alcohol we ever have is maybe once a month we'll split a Michelob Light beer and with some summer sausage that my son-in-law gets out of deer and some good old Wisconsin cheese. And that's about the most alcohol we consume. Go ahead, Steve.
Sounds like Steve got busy with something. Maybe he had a phone call. Well, Tom and David, this is going to be my last one because I am about to pull in the driveway and back it down into the garage with a metal garage door, and I can't transmit when I'm doing that. But anyway, enjoyed it. You guys stay safe. Stay warm out there. It's cold. W4DJW.
Do I have this? I guess I do. W4DJW, KB2HXS. Yeah. I heard, kind of came in on the tail end of the conversation, talking about drinking and drugging.
Well, telling them the first time I ever was around marijuana, I thought it was cherry bend tobacco. The CID come in our barracks, and the guy asked me what I thought that smelled like, and I said it smelled like cherry blend that I used to sell in Mom and Dad's grocery store. And he said, "Where are you from, son?" And I said, "Kansas." And he said, "That explains it." And he laughed and smiled and just left. And they took four guys out there in handcuffs for smoking marijuana, and they never did come back. They were real strict about that back then, David. I'd never seen it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm not a drinker. Heck, I'm barely a social drinker. I have a glass of wine once in a while, or I'll have a rum and coke once in a blue moon or something, but I got to be in the mood for it. It's just, I don't come home after work and pop a beer open like some of my friends do.
I just can't. I can drink a half a beer and feel it, and I just won't do it. It's just something that I can't handle and have always been susceptible to. But we'll split a half a Michelob Light maybe once a month or so, and every couple of weeks, every month, and have some cheese and crackers with it. But that's about it. And our kids are wine connoisseurs up in Michigan, and then our other daughter down here, she'll drink an occasional drink of hard liquor at a party or something, but that's about it. But I just can't handle it. And so I just never really had a desire for it, to be honest with you. I think the best one I ever tasted, a neighbor up in Kansas made some in his bathtub, he said, and it was homebrew. And he was an Italian gentleman. And, wow, that was the best darn beer I ever tasted. Of course, I might have been hot and tired and all that. It tastes better than Dave. This is going to be my last one, Dave. And I'll talk to you later. The wife needs me, and I got to run down the hall here. 73, good to hear you. This is N0TR.
N0TR, KB2HXS. See you later, Tom. I guess I'm the only one left. Ho-hum, woe is me.
On there, he probably got a phone call. He's still working, man. So he'll probably be back on. And there's been a few on here this morning. I talked to a guy in Washington on EchoLink, and I'll talk to Jerry and several guys here. So you keep trolling, you'll run into them. This is N0TR clear.
That's funny. Keep trolling. All righty. I'll listen out. See if Steve makes his way back. CB2HX, 73, Tom. And don't run down that hallway too fast. I don't want you to fall and hurt yourself.
Lynn there.
I am.
Hey, Dave.
What's that?
How about the other Dave? W4DJW, you still in there, Dave?
He is putting his truck in the garage or his vehicle in the garage, so he backed out a minute ago.
Yeah, he got home with some food. He gonna stuff his face. Oh. So what have you been up to, big boy?
I got to run down to Simpsonville for Jimmy, do a quick service call, and then come back. Other than that, not much. I got that thermostat ordered for you.
All right. Good deal. Good deal. Yep. I'm looking forward to getting that situation straightened out.
Yeah, me too. Me too, because it wasn't acting the way it's supposed to. I wasn't getting a call for electric heat up at the air handler on White. So that tells me the thermostat is kaput.
You know, there was two of them like that. One in the main building down there that you saw, and now this one. So those Honeywell thermostats just aren't worth a crap.
I mean, that's like the second, like you say, the second one I run into. And that's really weird. Now maybe they had a bad run of them. I don't know.
Or maybe they were just junk all the way around, because I've had some Honeywell stuff. You know, back years ago, Honeywell was the name to go with in HVAC. But I don't know anymore.
Anyway, unless you get into the real high-end touchscreens and Wi-Fi thermostats and all this other nonsense, you know, you're going to pay a pretty penny for that stuff. When we used to put systems in down here in Florida, the company I worked for, we gave the folks a choice of these two thermostats. Well, of course, one was a heat pump thermostat, one was not. It's just a very simple, large display because, you know, we were dealing with the older community, and they couldn't see a lot of that small stuff. And it's just got little flip switches on the front to go into the mode and whatever you want, you know. So it's very easy to read.
That old formula. Keep it simple, stupid.
Pretty much. I mean, that's kind of my philosophy. You know, I'm not a big fan of these touchscreen thermostats and these Wi-Fi thermostats and all these doggone things because, you know, the more control you have like that, more of a possibility. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't, and I'm saying it happens on every thermostat, but they're very sensitive to voltage fluctuations or you know, like what I found in your air handler where the ground wasn't even connected. That to me is very disturbing.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, just let me know when that thing comes in, and we'll get up here and get it swapped out. Have you talked to Jimmy?
I spoke with him yesterday. I haven't talked to him today yet.
We'll wait and see how he's doing.
I might, if you talk to him before I do, just let him know. I'll call him later.
All right, well, listen, I've designated. I'm fixing to go into the man cave and go play a little bit for the rest of the day. So I'll talk to you soon there, big guy. And, have you made any headway on that tower?
Not just yet. I was going to save it for maybe a little time this weekend or, you know, see how the weather goes this week if I get a little warmer day and get out there and tinker with it a bit.
All right. Cool beans, Bubba. Well, I'll talk to you later, or I'll talk to you soon. KN4, VWA. I'll be clear after you final.
All right, Steve. We'll catch you later. KN4, VWA, KAB2HXS.